We're talking with U.S. Congressman Fred Upton, the chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee from St. Joseph. His district includes Allegan County, and we always have a pleasure to chat with him on a Tuesday morning about some of the events of the day. And all of Washington is looking forward to the president's State of the Union address. As we record our interview before, Mr. Obama speaks to you and other members of the House and Senate in a joint session in the House chambers. What are you expecting from the president in terms of anything substantive and perhaps the tone of his remarks?
Well, you know, this is the time. It's, in essence, a required speech. There's a lot of hoopla, a lot of pomp and circumstance. People are up and down depending upon what he says, a little bit like a teeter-totter. One side up, one side down, Republicans and Democrats, et cetera. But it's, you know, it's the chance for him to set the stage for the year. And traditionally, it's the opening salvo of the legislative session, even though we started earlier this month. Traditionally, the budget comes up about this time, but the president already announced that the budget's going to come up, I want to say, a month or two late. And it came up last year, actually, after the House had already passed its budget. So it really wasn't all that relevant. But this, in essence, sets the stage for the year. And, you know, the speech itself is pretty closely guarded. Lots of different folks are looking for their little way to get something in, whether it's, you know, whatever issue it is. It's usually a long speech for this president. The average is more than an hour in terms of the speech with the applause and everything else. And there'll be obviously a lot of instant quarterbacking when it's all said and done in terms of what he says and what he doesn't.
It's more of a vision speech than it is actual nuts and bolts, isn't it?
Well, it is, and, you know, there's always the chance for what we call trial balloons. There's little leaks here and there in terms of trying to gauge reaction in the press and calls back to the White House. He met with a number of my Democratic colleagues, at the end of last week, trying to lay out what his vision is. I'll tell you one concern that many of us have is the thought that he may try to really avoid the normal legislative action on a variety of issues. I go back to when I worked with President Ronald Reagan. He had a divided government, too. He had a Democratic Congress, both House and Senate, and a Republican White House. And he was able to get a lot of things done because he worked with the Congress, knowing that he couldn't go around them. And there were lots of meetings, lots of relationships that were very positive. And America felt pretty strong. The trial balloons the last couple days indicate that the president may be throwing in the towel on trying to work with Congress and really trying to do an end run on a whole host of issues. And that's not going to be a welcome sight as we look for the rest of the legislative year.
Part of it perhaps is because, rather selfishly, the president doesn't have to run for re-election again.
Well, he doesn't have to run for re-election. He's obviously concerned about the midterm elections, where usually the party in power loses seats, and that's likely going to be the scenario here, certainly in the House, as well as in the Senate. There are many pundits that are saying that the balance of power is going to shift from the Democratic majority, 55-45 today, to maybe 51 or 52 Republicans.
In that light, then, and it's a political question then, Fred Upton, the Republicans really have to watch themselves and position themselves properly, not expecting, perhaps, the Democrats to hand things to them, as what might be the case in a midterm election where people just vote against the incumbents because they're not happy with what the course of the country is going.
Well, that's true, and it's... Some good news here, certainly the last couple of months, is that the Ryan-Murray bipartisan two-year budget passed by such a margin in both the House and the Senate, 3-1 in the House. I want to say it was close to 2-1 in the Senate. 2 weeks ago, we passed the omnibus spending bill, which locked in those budget savings by 359 votes in the House, and I want to say 14 of the 16 members of the Michigan congressional delegation voted yes on that bill. Pretty overwhelming in both the House and the Senate. I expect that the farm bill, which will be on the House floor Wednesday, probably passes by about a 2-to-1 margin. Obviously, very strong bipartisan on both accounts there. And I expect it to pass with a pretty significant margin in the Senate. And Debbie Stabenow, as chair of the Senate Ag Committee, I think did a very good job navigating through the different hurdles that she had to do to reach an accord with Republicans and Democrats and really move a very positive bill forward.
Fred, without sounding too cynical, doesn't a lot of this action, the budget, the farm bill, and the like, sort of clear the docket a little bit for Congress so that members can go and run for reelection? They don't have to be encumbered by any loose strings in Washington that might keep them off of the campaign trail?
Well, there's still a lot to do. We have fiscal year 14 now in the book. Those spending decisions have been made. So the work really begins on fiscal year 15, which starts October 1st. So even though we have the bottom line budget number done, we know how much money we're going to spend and collect in terms of revenue. The details in those 12 different appropriation bills, one's ag, one's foreign aid, one's defense, one's veterans, etc., all of those decisions have to be made. But the good thing is, because we did the two-year budget for the first time really ever, we're going to be able to see now the appropriators, that committee really work and to get their work done on individual bills, something that hasn't been done in a long time in both the House and the Senate. Remember, the Senate didn't pass even a budget for 4 years in a row.
Yeah, it's sort of like...
Now we've got a two-year budget that's done.
Yeah, they sort of have to realize that they can't wait, drag their heels forever on some.
Yeah, but we got some, take immigration. That's going to be a very, even though, remember, this is a two-year legislative cycle. So last year, the Senate took a whole month to deal with immigration. They passed a bill, I want to say it was about 3-to-1, bipartisan. The House approach is going to be different. One of the things that the two caucuses are doing, the Republican and Democratic caucus, the Republicans are going on a retreat the rest of this week, beginning Wednesday. Democrats are going on a caucus, I believe, next week, if not the following week, for the same amount of time. And one of our big issues is going to be immigration, for us to figure out what the principles should be. I think there is a majority of those of us that feel that the current system is broken, and doing nothing only perpetuates that broken system, and it's time to make some tough choices. The easy political vote might be to dodge the issue entirely. That's not the right thing to do. And this is the time to really try and get it done. And there's going to be a lot of time spent the next couple of days figuring out exactly what we ought to do. It's going to have to be bipartisan. The president's going to have to be engaged on it as well. And I'm one of those that believes that, in fact, it can happen and that work is really starting in earnest these last couple of weeks, and we'll see where we are at the end of the week as we try to develop the principles that we need to move forward on.
Let me ask you an immigration-related question then, Fred Upton, something that Governor Snyder mentioned in his State of the State address earlier this month about trying to steer more immigrants who get degrees and education in Michigan to stay in Michigan, especially in the Detroit area. And he wants to divert like 50,000 work visas over the next 5 years or something like that, like a third of all the available visas to go into Detroit. I don't know whether or not that's a going to be something that's going to sit well with the rest of the country or with Congress, because these visas are not targeted for any one particular area, and if you start targeting it, it's going to be region against region, state against state on this.
Well, what I think that he's trying to do is to try and, he's trying to jumpstart Detroit to get it to be an economic engine like it once was and which it is not today. And you got to be creative. You got to think of a little bit out of the box to try and do that. And I think there's a general feeling among many of us in the Congress that, in fact, particularly on these high-tech visas, what's called H-1B visas, these are folks that are pretty well educated. They can command pretty good jobs. In many cases, they have an opportunity to work with some of our international companies, whether it be a Ford, a Chrysler, GM, our furniture companies, the pharmaceutical industry, these pretty big international companies. They're looking for people, and they're looking for high talented people. And that cap on those visas is really pretty low. And the business community has been seeking to expand the number of visas for those highly educated folks so that they can not only recruit them to be here, but they can pay taxes here as well and really create even more jobs for the country. It's almost a little bit like a domino positive effect. And I think that's what the governor would like to see happen. And, we'll see how those ideas fit with immigration reform as it begins to move here in the House in the next number of weeks.
Fred Upton, there are a lot of things going on in Washington. We'll have more topics probably step forward once the president makes his State of the Union speech. And when we talk next Tuesday morning, we'll probably discuss some of the things not only in the speech, but some of the other issues of the day on Capitol Hill. We wish you and your family well this coming week and look forward to talking to you again next Tuesday.
Absolutely.